Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Actually, it's going to be an hour of spooky power. Yes, that's what we're going to be having. We're going to be talking about paranormal activities, and it's just one of those fascinating arenas. But these are true stories that we're going to be sharing with you. My guest today is Mr. Jim Harold. He's put together a book called Campfire, True Ghost Stories, but it's more than just ghost stories. We're going to share some goodies with you. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. So glad to be with you. Thanks for having me on the program, and I look forward to sharing some discussion and some stories with you and your audience.
Well, I look forward to it. Now, I want my audience to know a little bit about your background. You
Sure.
yourself have been involved in radio. You've been involved in media on multiple levels. You've hosted video programming. Media has just been a part of your life. You have a passion for it, which I can totally relate to. But it was really amazing how you rated number 5 on iTunes podcast charts in a science category.
My paranormal podcast program, which I started getting back to a little bit about me, in 2005, and I'll circle back to that. In 2005, I started podcasting as a hobby. I had actually gone to school to be a broadcaster, and things worked out a certain way, and I ended up working in radio and media and so forth, but I ended up working on the business side. And it always kind of irked me that I did not take advantage of the broadcasting side of it, actually doing it, talking into a mic.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2005, this thing called podcasting came out, and I said, my goodness, I'm not getting any younger. This is an opportunity for me to pursue this. And I did, and started out as a hobby and has turned into almost a vocation. And when I was trying to figure out what I would do a podcast on, I thought, well, gee, there's several things. Like most people, I have various interests in life, sports, music, history. But I kept coming back to one subject. I thought every time I would go in a bookstore, every time I would go to a library, what would be one of the first sections I would check out? And it would always be the paranormal section, because I always had an interest in this area of life. So I decided to start the paranormal podcast. That was very successful and has become, as you said, it's as ranked as number 5 on the science chart, and some of my skeptical friends will have a problem with that, but our thought was is that that's where the skeptic podcasts were, so I felt that we should register with iTunes where and kind of give the other side of the fence. And I've also branched out to several other podcasts, and one of them is Campfire, and this
mm-hmm.
book is our 73 stories gleaned from the files of the program that I do every week, where I talk to people about their strange experiences. And it's folks all over the world, just normal folks in the course of their life, and then they meet up with something. And kind of the fun is finding out what that something may be.
Well, and you do things a little bit differently. You have essay contests, and what I'd like to do is share some of these stories because they're so fascinating. Now, you had a Campfire essay contest winner, Janice, and it was
yes.
about Herman. You've got to tell
yes,
us about Herman.
Herman. I could read some of that if you'd like me to.
Oh, I think it'd be fabulous.
Let me just thumb to it here in a moment. Yeah, what we wanted to do is we wanted to show off also some of the writing skills of some of our listeners. So we did a essay contest, and this was very, very spooky. This was Janice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no stranger to the paranormal. My mother's farmhouse, a few miles away from my grandparents, is nearly 200 years old. And we've had many paranormal experiences there. Everything from levitating objects to disappearing, reappearing objects, cold spots, footsteps, music that has no source, and full-body apparitions. All of these and more became routine growing up on the farm. The paranormal doesn't shake me, but it does make me more interested to find out the truth. This is Janice speaking. Now, about 8 years ago, Janice had an experience she said she'd never forget. She was 22 years old, a military wife, and a new mother. Her husband was deployed overseas, so her 11-month-old daughter and her were living with her grandparents. Both of her grandparents were in failing health. The house was only about 50 years old, having been built by her grandfather in the 1960s. Her daughter and her shared a bedroom in the finished basement of the house. The rest of the story I'm going to read in her voice because it's much easier than trying to edit it on the fly. One clear summer night, I was lying in bed, not yet asleep. My daughter was in a crib a few feet away from my bed. The top 3 feet or so of the basement where we were staying was above ground with windows high up on the walls, allowing the moonlight to shine in on the room. The windows were open, and it was a warm night that is typical for early summer in the Pennsylvania countryside. Suddenly, I became aware of a very uncomfortable feeling. I couldn't quite establish what this feeling was, just that I was feeling very, very uneasy. I glanced down toward the bottom of the bed and saw what I thought was my daughter toddling along the bottom of the bed. I could only see the shadow of the top of her head, and I remember thinking that she must have crawled out of her crib and was coming to get into bed with me. I smiled and laid my head back down, waiting for her to come to the side of my bed. I felt her grab the bedspread to pull herself up on the top of the bed, and I thought I would give her a little help. When I tried to reach over to the side of the bed, though, I found I was unable to move. My first reaction was that this was very strange. Seconds passed, and I still couldn't move. I could feel her tugging on the bed covers, climbing up the side, and I became alarmed, thinking I was having a stroke or seizure. Any explanation for my sudden paralysis? Just then, the little figure made it up on the top of the bed and crawled over to me, and I fought a panic I've never felt before. It was not my daughter. It was not human at all. I don't know what exactly it was, but it was roughly 2 feet tall, greenish-brown, and resembled what I can only describe as Yoda. I was in a full-blown panic. I could feel my heart pounding and my chest heaving, and I was shaking like a leaf. This thing crawled up into my chest and sat down cross-legged and just studied my face. I still couldn't move and couldn't make a sound. I remember feeling my heart beating harder and harder. My breath was coming faster and faster, and I began to think that if this continued, that I was going to go into cardiac arrest. I have no idea how long it sat on me, just looking at me with a quizzical expression. 30 seconds, maybe a few minutes, but it felt like an eternity. Just when I thought that my heart was going to hammer right out of my chest, the little figure got a sudden look of complete surprise on his face. It never said a word, but I distinctly felt it sent a wave of emotion over me. It was as if it was telepathically apologizing for frightening me to such a degree, because it didn't need to scare me. With that, it hopped up, jumped off the bed, and scampered out the door of the bedroom. Instantly, I could move. I flew out of bed. I grabbed my still-sleeping daughter out of her crib and ran with everything I had out through the apartment and up the stairs to the main house, flipping on every light I passed. I spent the night in the recliner upstairs at night with the lights on, my daughter curled happily in my arms. For the next 6 months, I slept with all the lights blazing in the apartment at night. Then I figured if I gave it a silly, non-threatening name, I could make it a little less scary. So each night before bed, I would stop by my bedroom door, look around the apartment, and say, "No visits tonight, Herman." It helped a little. Janice says, "I still don't know what it was. It never returned, and for that I'm glad. I have never experienced anything like it before or since. I've been through some pretty distressing situations in my life, but I've never been so afraid of anything."
Jim, when you got this story, and I know you had a number of submissions, when you read something like this, did the thought come into your mind, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, this is so good it could make a television show"? And
oh, sure.
You know,
sure. I just had one like that the other night. If we have a moment, I'll share that one with you. But yes, absolutely. You get these stories, and I get a lot of stories, and occasionally there will be one like this one that will really strike a thread and send a chill down your spine. And that's what I tried to do with this book, was really focus on those stories that were the scariest and the spookiest. In some cases, not spooky, but just plain old poignant or just made you scratch your head.
Mm-hmm.
I had one the other night on my program, and by the way, if anybody wants to listen to my programs for free, I have over 400 programs, and you can access them for free that you can access over at jimharold.com. That's J-I-M-H-A-R-O-L-D.com. And the other night on my campfire program, and this is not in the book because literally the story was just a couple of weeks ago, someone called up and said that, you know, unfortunately her mom had passed when she was 12 years old. And one thing that happened, which would be a story in and of itself, was that they had a dresser with a mirror over it that belonged to her mother. And occasionally when people would go into the room where this dresser was, and this is in three different houses and different people, they would see a picture or they would see a reflection of her mother in the best of health in mm-hmm. that mirror. And the mom died of cancer, and she definitely was not in the best of health. She was very, very weak and had lost a lot of weight when she had been stricken with the cancer. So this was her in the vibrancy of her youth. And that was very reassuring for my guests, but this was the chilling part. And there's another piece that goes on even after this, but this was the part that got me. One day she heard her son, I think her son was around 4 or 5 years old, and this will be in a book two or three, if there is a book two or three. And basically what happened was he was upstairs in a room playing and talking to someone, but there was no one upstairs, so she went and checked and said, you know, someone, who you talking to? There's nobody up here. And he said, oh, I'm talking to my, now this is from the South, keep in mind. He said, I'm talking to my other sissy. Apparently, his aunt, he called her sissy. So I'm talking to my other sissy or my other aunt. And the mom thought that was strange, but thought, oh, you know, he's a young boy. He's just imaginative and he's made up an imaginary friend, imaginary aunt. So anyway, a few days later, she's sitting on the porch with her sister, and they're going through some old photo albums. And one of the things that they're going through is the is a photo album that her of her family, and they came upon a picture of her late mother. And the little boy walks up and looks at the picture and says, oh, there's my other sissy, you know, the dead one.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. that literally, in the way she told it, and it's on one of the, when I think it's episode 86 or 87, one of those shows, I think you'll recognize it when you hear it, and it is just so, she does such a great job of telling it. And the thing is that she wasn't somebody who was ghost hunting or looking for this, and that's why I find interesting about many of the people I talk to. Now, there are a few ghost hunting stories in the book, but most of these are people who were going about their everyday routine, and then they ran into something that they can't explain. And that's what I love about it, Donna. They're regular people, average people that hold jobs just like you and me, and they just come across something very, very strange. And the other thing that I see many times is a phenomenon where somebody will come on the show, and they will tell me something that happened to them as a child or a teenager, very young age, and they're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old in some cases, telling this story, maybe for the first time or one of the few times they told it, and they become very emotional. Mm-hmm. It has such a great impact on them. So
right.
All of that's a fascinating part of doing the program.
Well, I think it's marvelous. I think the more we can talk about things like this and bring them out in the open, these experiences are real. They are
yes.
really things that happen. This isn't make-believe. It's not a sci-fi specialty, but boy, it just really makes for an intriguing perspective. And that brings me to your man of science meeting the supernatural. Now, this is about a guy that's really a skeptic, and he's in Sydney, Australia, working
yeah.
at the hospital as a scientist. I love these stories, because when people will go around, and that's something I've said to so many, what happens if you have the experience? Oh, that doesn't exist. This just doesn't happen. Oh, really? And then
right.
all of a sudden, lo and behold, something is going to shock their mental rock of attitude and shattering it into smithereens. And then they go around telling the story, but at the same time they go, you know, I really, you know, it did happen, but there has to be a logical answer for this.
Well, the one thing that's interesting, not in this particular case, but something that I find so often, and I just did a book signing last night. The most common thing when I talk to somebody who I've not met or maybe somebody that I know in another context, but they don't know about this, a lot of times this will come out of their mouth. Well, I, in general, don't believe in this stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was this one time.
Don't you just love the one time? Yes.
And the thing about that, Donna, is that that's why I think that these programs and these books and just the general interest in the paranormal across the board is so great, because I believe that almost any single person who's made it to any age whatsoever has had something happen to them, even if they're a skeptic,
mm-hmm.
that they go, what was that all about?
And, right.
and hearing those and retelling them. And one thing that's happened on the program, which I did not expect, is that many people have said and have written me and said how much the show means to them, because they've had, even if they've not come on the show, they feel better about their experience because they've heard other people have had similar experiences, or they thought that everybody would think that they were crazy because they had one of these
mm-hmm.
experiences. And mm-hmm. I never really thought of it in that. When I started the program, I thought, because what I'd basically done was a special for my paranormal podcast show, my first show that I did, and just did it for fun, more or less, and got such a great reaction. I'm like, oh, this is its own show. This is its own series. And I started doing it, and people wrote me, this means so much to me. It's made a difference in my life. And again, I'm not a counselor or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and I don't play one on TV, but I did think there's something cathartic about having a shared electronic campfire where you can feel free to tell your stories. I would invite any of your listeners who have any stories they'd like to share with the group, that they can go to jimharold.com, that's J-I-M-H-A-R-O-L-D.com, and they can click on Campfire Sign Up, and they can sign up to tell their stories.
Well, I think that's fabulous, Jim. Now, let's talk about this scientist, because
yes.
he was at the hospital, and he said he lives up in the Blue Mountains, which is about 60 miles from Sydney, and he would stay at the hospital because it was easier. I mean, that was a long haul to drive home. So if there were emergencies
right.
or something and it were really busy, he just stayed right at the hospital. And he goes into describing the environment that he's in. And
right.
he said it was very hard for him to get to sleep this one night. And then he is awakened from just having been asleep for a short period of time. And that's maddening, especially when you're on
right.
hospital duty. And, oh, it's awful. But he's hearing all kinds of footsteps.
Oh, yeah. Well, the wild thing is that from where my understanding from his description in the book and on the program is that where he worked in what we would call, I believe, the emergency room, and there was this tunnel and these, like, dormitories that they would stay in, and there was a security guard. Actually, he had been given a pager at that time. You know, I think this was before cell phones were real popular. So he was given a pager, so if he was needed, they could page him. But he's roused out of sleep by somebody knocking on the door, basically calling him out and calling him Mister. Like an authoritarian, almost like, Mister, you have to get back to your rounds kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes out and there's nothing there. And then he asks the security guard, did you see anybody go past? No. He calls into the desk. He said, did you send somebody down for me? And they said, no. And then essentially what happened was word got around the hospital and somebody came up to him. I believe his name was Mark, and said, Mark, you know, you're not the only one. I don't know if you know this. We heard about your experience. This hospital is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, again, and the level-headed guy, a scientist in a hospital, not somebody who's out ghost hunting necessarily. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but someone who was doing his job and had this weird confrontation. And speaking of hospitals, one of my favorite stories in the book, if we have a moment,
sure,
is the first story in the book. It's called "Would You Like a Spot of Tea?" And basically the story is about, it's told by Dave from the United Kingdom. Another thing I love about the book is the fact that there are people all over the world who told their stories. We have the United Kingdom, Canada, U.S., Colombia, Mexico, Norway, Germany, Australia. If I said Mexico, I don't think actually we have Mexican stories, but we certainly have stories from the Latino culture, from the southern U.S. But we really have a great cross-section of the world. But anyway, this story is from the UK. It's Dave. He's telling about his mother-in-law. And one night, well, his mother-in-law was in hospital, as they say over there, at the National Health. And she has always been not in the best of health. So she's kind of in and out of hospitals, unfortunately. And one night she couldn't get to sleep, and this nurse kept coming by and asked her if she wanted tea, and she finally acquiesced and took tea. But she noticed something different, and it took her a while to put her finger on it. But she realized that the nurse was dressed up in an old-time costume, like an old-time nurse's uniform with the little hat and the big dress, you know, the what you would see on TV from the 40s, 50s, or even, you know, up into the 60s, or that old TV show Emergency from the early 70s. I remember that, the nurse on that. But anyway, that kind of, you know, when we were probably kids, when they would, like, have a picture in a school book of a nurse, that's what they would have. So anyway, that kind of nurse, and she thought, well, that's odd. You know, they don't wear that anymore. But anyway, she took the tea. And she just kept wondering what that was. And it turns out this woman went to see psychics. And she asked the psychic about this experience, and the name Lily came through. So she determined next time she went to the hospital, she would ask someone. So she asked one of the nurses, told her what happened, said, you know, who is that nurse that goes around like that? And she said, oh, that's the resident ghost, Lily.
I love it. I just love it. Now, Jim, your book, you have it broken down into sections. You have the ghost stories. You
yes.
also have monsters and aliens and tales of dreams and death and something out of this world. And also you have eating my own dog food sections. I mean, you have all of these little goodies, and they're broken up. And one of them that really touched my heart was the one titled Goodnight Grandpa, which I thought was just wonderful. And
I love that story as well. I'm just going to pull it up here just to find out.
That's Thomas from Illinois.
Yeah,
and
I remember
the
story. I'm just trying to pull it up in the book here. Unfortunately, when you're doing it on the fly, you have to just pull it up on the fly here. Here it is, page number 35, if you're reading along.
That's right. I've got it right in front of me.
What I'll do, actually, it's a pretty short story, very touching, so I'll just read it. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
Okay. This is from Thomas, and actually, I just spoke to Thomas from Illinois again the other night. He had another story to share. I love this story. When I was a kid, my grandmother watched us a lot. The night of my grandfather's funeral, I decided to spend the night at my grandmother's house the way I usually did. When my grandfather was alive, there was almost a ritual that he would perform. In the middle of the night, he'd walk down the hall and go into the kitchen. I'd be sleeping on the couch. From my vantage point there, I could see into the kitchen. He'd go in for a piece of fruit or something like that, and he would walk back up the hall. I'd awaken slightly and usually hear him crunch into an apple or something as he was walking back up the hall, going back to bed. As I mentioned, the night of his funeral, I decided to spend the night there because I just wanted to feel closer to him. For some reason, in the middle of the night, I woke up because I heard somebody walking down the hall. And I wasn't sure if my grandmother was getting up for something. I know I was awake because I pretty much sat up on the couch and waited for her to come down the hall, but she never did. All of a sudden, there was a light on in the kitchen as if someone had opened the fridge. And I was thinking, okay. I was sitting there waiting, and the light went off, and I didn't see anyone come out of the kitchen. It was light enough in the house that you could see someone walking in and out of the kitchen. After the light shut off, I heard someone walking down the hall, and I heard a crunch, like an apple being bitten into. So I just kind of rolled over and said, good night, Grandpa, and I went back to sleep. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind there is so much more after this life. In the years since, I've had a chance to process it, and my experience has really helped me deal with any kind of loss in my life because I know that they're still here. You know what I mean? I'm sad that they're gone, but I can say goodbye to them and feel as though I'm going to see them again. That's Thomas from Illinois. It's a great story.
It really is a wonderful story. Now, Jim, when you started this, you had no idea you were going to have this kind of a response. How has this changed you in your thinking and in your attitude about life?
Well, I've always believed in life after death. But I think a lot of times, and actually it's a very interesting question that you ask, because I wrote something about this not too long ago. Is that I think before, for me, it was more academic. You know, if I talk about UFOs or ghosts, it was very academic. It's like, well, mm-hmm. let's study this and let's discuss and seriously. But these are real people with real happenings and things that emotionally mean something to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just words on a page or chapters in a book or theories. This is important stuff. This is the stuff that life is made up of in these questions. And again, that's why it's so popular, because these are the fundamental questions, you know. Is there life after death? It gets into ideas of, is there a God? If there is a God, what is that God like, you know? Mm-hmm. Are there extraterrestrials? Do we have things like ESP and precognition and premonitions? These are really important questions. They're the most important questions that we really ask. And the thing is that, is there really a much more important question than if there's life after death? If there is, you know, obviously, is there God? Is a huge one up there. But those are the, I think that's why everybody wants, I mean, I think most people would say two questions they would want to answer in life is there God? And I mean, I personally believe in a higher power. But do I know it? I don't know it. And the same with life after death. Is there life after death? And particularly when you lose somebody close to you, I think it's so much more tolerable if you believe that energy lives on in some form. For some people, they believe that's heaven. For other people, they believe it's reincarnation. For others, they believe that it's just kind of a spirit out there in the ether. But believing and thinking that someone lives on in some palpable way, I think, is incredibly important for our sanity when we face something like this. So it's touched me very deeply. Now, mm-hmm. in my book, I talk about a situation that I had with my brother. Do we have time for the story? I don't know where we are with the clock.
No, we've only got about a couple of minutes. But so we wouldn't have too much time for the story. But Jim, your website is jimherold.com.
Yes.
People can go, and you've got archived for free all of these various conversations that you've had with people. They're sharing.
Yeah, all the Campfire shows are absolutely free. Yes.
Okay, so you have all of that. They'll be able to find out about that. And is there anything special they need to look for on your website?
Well, the easiest way to listen to the content is there's a little red button at the top, listen or watch, because I have video shows as well, and you can click on that, and that will give you access to everything. And also, I would love people to pick up a copy of the book if they like the stories that they heard tonight at jimherold.com, J-I-M-H-A-R-O-L-D.com, and there will be a big book there on the right-hand side. You just click on that, and it'll give you all the details of all the different places that you can get at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and fine bookstores everywhere. And Donna, I must say, it's been an absolute pleasure to be with you tonight. I thank you. I hope that we get to talk again about a book 2, 3, and 4.
Well, so do I. Because spooky stories, I think, are the spice of life. I mean,
yes,
if you're really bored, all you have to do is start sharing a story or two like this, and you're not going to be without company. Because just like what you've done with your podcast, people will say, you have your story. Let me tell you what happened to me on Friday the 13th or whatever the day was
that they went through the experience.
So it's just absolutely wonderful. The book is titled Jim Herold's Campfire True Ghost Stories. And go to his website, jimherold.com, and Herold is H-A-R-O-L-D.com. And you'll find so much wonderful information. And if you feel like some of your experiences have been a little uncomfortable, well, just know that you've got a whole bunch of company there. And on Jim's website, you'll find out about how much can be shared with you, so maybe you won't feel so uncomfortable. Jim, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. We are going to take a break. This is Donna Sebo. I'm broadcasting live with Jim Harold from Anchorage, Alaska, where the skies are gray, the temperatures are getting rather brisk, and we're going to be back in just a minute.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. So glad you're able to join me today, and my goodness, there's just so much going on, and I just know that Jim's stories were probably very intriguing for you in his book, Campfire True Ghost Stories. Really, he's just got, like he said, 73 stories in here, and they're just amazing. But I wanted to share something with you. Oh, I almost forgot. Telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to chat with me today, the telephone number to call into right now is 888-627-6008. It's 888-627-6008. I think, as Jim and I were discussing, just about everybody has had an experience in their life, regardless of age, that stays with them because it's so extraordinary and out of the ordinary by a great step. And I want to share with you a story that someone told me earlier today. One of my clients was telling me about her mother, who was elderly and was in the hospital, and she was not doing well at all. And the daughter had made arrangements with the hospital that they were not to do any kind of major medical procedures or anything else, because her mother had told her and had made her agree to not doing the extended life, not putting her on life support. Well, there was a situation that happened to her mom, and they did have her on life support for a while, but the daughter was at home, and this was about 7 days before the mother passed away. The daughter was at home, had laid down taking a nap because she was going to be going back to the hospital. And she said she suddenly felt this tremendous pressure on her chest. And she was awakened out of a sleep, and she said she felt this pressure. And she said it was so unusual. She felt it through her body, and the thought came into her mind, Mom is not doing well. She's going through some problems. So she immediately got on the phone to the hospital, and the staff there said, yes, your mother had a turn. She asked if she was doing okay. They said, well, she's just had something that has affected her, but she's very stable right now. Well, the daughter said, that was such a strong feeling. I really feel like this was my mother that was letting me know that she was having problems. Well, as it turned out, she ended up talking to her sister, within a short period after visiting her mother at the hospital. And she told her what she had experienced, and she knew the time because she happened to look at a clock that was nearby shortly after she had the experience. And her sister said, "Well, that's no surprise. Mom was sitting in the chair right across from me, visiting with me." Her mother passed away about 6-7 days later. And she said all of us were at peace because our mother had made a point of visiting my sister. She said, "I felt like I'd been cheated a little bit, but I had this particular physiological experience." And she said, "My sister had the presence of my mother materialize in front of her, and her mother was sitting in a chair in the home talking to her." Does it sound far-fetched? Perhaps. But, you know, when you work in the psychic area for as many years as I have, the stories that people tell you, just like what has been shared with Jim, these are more common than you realize. And that shows that, one, that there's no such thing as time or space. Two, that there is more to life than what you can put in a test tube. And that life has so many expressions and different modalities that it expresses through. And three, it makes me aware that we have so much that is right alongside with us that we can feel comforted, not frightened, but comforted by the fact that there's more to life than we see or feel with our senses. This is Donna Sebo. I just wanted to share that story with you. I heard that just today. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, is 888-627-6008. Well, next week we're going to have a wonderful lineup of people. Let me share with you some of the points of information that you should be aware of. On Monday, we're going to be talking with Thea Summer about the wisdom of the plant divas. Ah, yes, remember Jim's story about a creature or whatever life form it was, 2 feet high, that this woman experienced? Well, who knows? Then we're going to be talking about the Iroquois supernatural, talking animals and the medicine of the Iroquois. Mason Winfield is going to be my guest. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Randolph Howes, the antioxidant overkill and the dangers of excessive antioxidants. And then Michael Time, the afterlife revealed, what happens after we die, ghosts, spirits, and hauntings. Andrew Nichols is going to be my guest a week from today. Oh, and it just fits right in with the theme of Halloween, and we may have a surprise guest on Halloween itself. So all of this is coming up, and it's just so much fun to be able to go through this kind of material and to know that we're going to be able to bring people to you so you can experience perhaps something a little bit different than you would expect. Now, for those of you in the state of Washington, I want to remind you that the Quantum Mind class is going to be coming up on November the 12th. Now, this is Saturday, and I'll give you more information after we chat with this caller. And I want to welcome you, caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
It's Richard.
Hi, Richard. From Wisconsin. I'm so delighted that you're calling in today. Richard, the first thing that is coming into my mind with you is that you've got to continue to move forward with your plans, even though you have to take maybe a little bit of a different routing. And when I'm saying that, it's as if I'm seeing you having a plan of action laid out. And you're very clear. There's no superfluous stuff being brought into the picture, yet you're going to find that there is a sidetrack that you will end up exploring that's going to get you to your destination because another routing that you had thought was going to be open to is going to be closed. So you're going to be making a bit of a detour, if you will, but you'll stay really focused on what you need to accomplish during the next 3 to 6 months. Now, you've got a lot on your plate between now and the end of this year. A lot of paperwork has to be taken care of. And more than that, you are going to have an awareness that you need to be in touch with certain people. Now, when I say people, it's looking like 3 to 4 individuals that are going to be in your mind so consistently that you just can't shake it. And I want to say, pay attention, because they're thinking of you. There is something that's going on. And if nothing else, just pick up a phone. Don't just email. Pick up a telephone and call them. And something unique is going to be going on in their lives. And this is going to make you aware that when you get strong feelings like this, they're not to be ignored, because there is something definitely in the works. Very busy period between now and the end of the year, and I think the first quarter of 2012, you're going to say to yourself, my goodness, I would have thought this would have been a quieter period, and it's not going to be. So be prepared. The work is going to be there, as well as the action, and I think you're going to be pleased with the way things are going to work out, especially by early spring of 2012. What's on your mind, Richard? What would you like to ask me today?
Part of the busy part you're thinking about is I had bought, last year had, on February 14th, I basically had a rebirth, and one of the things I did is I bought a guitar and have been learning to play it.
Wow.
And when I'm playing, I keep on feeling somebody touching my hand, and I can hear my name called and even hear a clap every now and then.
But how fabulous. Well, that's wonderful. Now, when you are sensing this, because obviously there is someone who has a love of music and is wanting you to enjoy it. Did you have a family member by any chance that loved the guitar? Was there anyone that you knew when you were growing up that had a love of music and the instrument that sort of inspired you?
No, my grandpa was a professional saxophonist.
Okay, now your voice is coming through a little garbled, Jim. Are you on a cell phone or on Skype? Oh, dear. Okay, something happened with our connection, but Richard had an interesting story to share, and if you have one and you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-627-6008 is the number to call into, and Richard, if you had a specific question you wanted to ask me, don't hesitate to call back. 888-627-6008. Now, let me get back to the class that's being held on November the 12th. I am going to be one of the teachers during this class, as well as Robert Newman. Now, this class is about empowering you and your life on multiple levels. You'll be able to accentuate your intuitive skills, as well as learning how you can create a physical environment of harmony that'll support your deepest creativity and desire for success. Now, we are limited to having 25 people in the class. That's all we can have. The reason we're going to do it that way is so we can give you each individualized attention. So this is at Bridgeport Place at 5250 Bridgeport Way West. The time on Saturday, November the 12th, will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And doors will be open at 9:15 a.m. You can prepay for the class. We do need to have you register, $39.95 or $45 at the door. And all you need to do is give me a call, 253-582-5604 is my office number, 253-582-5604, and we'll put you down as an attendee. Refreshments are going to be served during the class itself. So do consider making time on a Saturday. It will just absolutely be a great way for you to start your week and for you to be invigorated with your own life. Well, so many people are talking about 2012. We have so many doomsdayers, but I want to say, why not look at it from a positioning that you're going to be able to empower your life? So come on and join us for Quantum Mind on November the 12th. And if you want more information, you can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, or again, give me a call, 253-582-5604. Donna Sebo here. Being up here in Anchorage, Alaska, there's just so much fun stuff to share, and I will share that with you when we come back. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, again, I'll take your calls, 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. For those of you that have been trying to call in to chat with me, there has been something that has been affecting our telephone equipment. So please try back in about 2 minutes. They're trying to see if they can make an adjustment on the line. We have no idea what's causing the interference. In the meantime, let me give out the number again, 888-627-6008. I want to share a story with you about a woman who is an entrepreneur. Her name is Lynn Jurek. And she was a woman who went to Stanford University. She went to their business school, and she decided she was going to take an internship in Shanghai. We live in a wonderful time where students that go to college, they can go to different places in the world and intern, and it's absolutely incredible. And she said she went to work one day. She was wearing a beautiful silver necklace. It was shiny. It just was great. She gets to the office, and she happens to look in a mirror, and her silver necklace was horribly tarnished in a very short period of time. She said, "Here I was in Shanghai, a megacity. The air is so polluted that it had turned her necklace almost black." Now, this is just a very short period of time. So because of that experience, she said, "I am going to get involved in some way in changing environmental conditions." And when she started doing that, she decided, as she was thinking, because she served her internship in Shanghai, she said, "Wait a minute, I don't think I want to do business. I think I want to do something that's more significant, because what I've experienced in Shanghai has made me aware we must pay attention to our environment." Well, as it turned out, when she got back to Stanford, there was a classmate, his name was Ed Finster, who wanted to start a company that was going to make a difference in pollution, in dealing with pollution, wanted to get rid of it. So they decided they were going to go into business. They were going to get into the solar business. Well, they started checking it out, and they went, "Holy Moses, this stuff is expensive. The average family is not going to be able to afford it. How are we going to be able to do something with this?" Well, Lynn said no one wanted to take the risk of investing in something that was revolutionary in its approach, in its concept. And she said, "These panels that are being made, something has to be done differently." Well, they started a company, and it's called Sunrun. Today, this company powers 12,000 homes, and they said, offsetting over 20 years, the carbon generated by burning 1.9 trillion pounds of coal in 9 states, including California, New Jersey, it's making a difference. Now, they're just one of many, many people that are saying, we can do something. I think it's exciting. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind. We're going through tough times. Hey, realize There's always tough times, but what we need is innovation and an efficiency level of understanding of how we can make our world a better place and start working now towards that. We'll create jobs, we'll create a better environment, we'll make a difference. Let's take our next caller. And caller, thank you for waiting. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show.
Hello, this is Richard again.
Oh, hi, Richard. Oh, hey, you sound great this time. What's your question for me, Richard?
I wanted to see, do you see who's around me and will I turn into a professional career with the music?
Well, you've actually asked me two questions, but let me answer the first one. There's actually three people that I'm seeing around you. I'm not just seeing one. And that's why I was asking if you had known of anybody that had a love of music in your family. Because I feel like there is a family member that is around you. But the person that's touching your hands is very experienced with music. And I think that this is someone that has been attracted into your environment to encourage you, to support you. But they know how to move the hands. They are someone, the personality, and I feel it's a male. I don't feel like it's a female. I feel like it's a male that knows how to work the guitar. So it's someone that used to actually even teach it. And so what I would say to you is this. When you're aware of them, say thank you for being so supportive. Let me know how I can do better. Now, to answer your other question, if you want to take the positioning of becoming a professional, you need to be able to invest not just the time in practicing, but bringing yourself into the environments of those teachers that really understand the skills that you need to develop, and so that they can watch you and observe you, so that you will be able to do things the right way. It's very difficult to unlearn a bad technique. And that's what I would encourage you to do. And if you want to do something professionally with your music, I think in 5 years that'll be possible.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's very helpful. Yeah,
well,
occasionally I see a face, and it looks like one of my favorite guitarists who had passed away about 4 or 5 months ago.
Really?
Well, yeah, Gary Moore, he passed away in February, and he's a left-hander like me, and I occasionally see what looks like his face.
Well, what I would ask, when you are aware of it, if the face is showing itself to you, I would encourage you to welcome him and say, any tips that you feel that I need to be aware of, share them with me, or lead me to those people that can help me refine my skill. And some of it has to do with your rhythm. Your rhythm is a little bit off. It's like it's an edgy rhythm. So this is something that I think, again, if you're around people that are really good teachers, go for the best and really invest in that. And I don't think you'll have any regrets.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds helpful.
Wonderful, Richard. Well, you'll have to call me back and let me know how it's going in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you. You're very welcome, Richard. Thank you for calling in today. Donna Sebo here. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. All right, one other thing that I wanted to share with you today. And so many people are wanting, and by the way, I know there was another caller, but that caller apparently hasn't been able to call back. But just if you need to buzz in, we've got a few minutes here before the show will end, so it's 888-627-6008. So many people today are really watching their pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and dollars. And I can remember years ago being able to use layaway as a method of being able to acquire what I wanted. Now, for a long time, it has been not a common practice for layaway to be available. But it was something that enabled me, one, to build a phenomenal wardrobe, but two, I acquired furniture that way, and I didn't have to worry about interest charges. It was all cash. You'd go in, you had your little payment book, and you just went down the line, and one day you walked out, you owned it, you didn't have a lot of debt. Well, it's coming back. There are many different box stores, if you will, that are saying, okay, we are happy to do this for you, especially with the holiday season. And this is a very good thing to do. So if you are in a store that has multiple types of products and items that you can buy that you can put on layaway, then what you want to do is be aware of a couple points. There's going to be a nominal flat fee, usually $5 to $10, to do the layaway service. And all you have to do is plan your shopping accordingly. And you want to be sure that you get as many items as possible at one store. And when you bundle your items together, you're going to get the convenience of layaway without having to pay multiple service charges. And I just have known of a number of stores that have started incorporating it, and I'm seeing advertisements on television now. If you want a layaway for the holidays, you can do it. Well, that's a very good thing because it allows you to work with your own cash flow. Also, when you buy something early, sometimes it enables you not only to beat the crowds, but you're going to be able to get the best selection. Now, what if the merchandise goes on sale after you've put it on layaway? Don't worry about it, because many of the stores will make at least one price adjustment. You've got to be sure, though, you only have 2 weeks after there is an adjustment in price to be able to make that notable on your purchase. And I'll tell you what, if you miss a payment, they will return everything back out to the floor aisles, wherever it needs to be, and they'll keep your money. You won't be able to get your money back. So you want to be sure, if possible, dependent on the store, that you are able to be there and making payments. And some of the layaway plans, they only give you a short window of time. You might only have 4 weeks. So if your paycheck doesn't come out that way, and if you know it's going to take you longer, make sure you have some kind of an arrangement with a store. Sometimes they will allow you to extend it without having any kind of a penalty. But be aware, you miss that payment, you've lost the money that you've put on the items, and they'll all be returned to the floor. It's a very interesting situation, but it's something that can help you quite a bit. If you're trying to make all of your money work for you in a positive way, and you're trying to get ready for that time of year when you're going to be wanting to give gifts to different people, and sales are going on all over the place. So that's something you need to be aware of. Well, I know we've only got a couple of minutes here, and I just wanted to share a little bit of trivia about Alaska. Up here in Alaska, they have something called permafrost. Now, it has been a term that has been used by people for many, many years. And what is permafrost? It's ground that stays frozen for 2 years or longer. Now, the northern third of Alaska is just totally covered with permafrost. It's just icy. There are a lot of areas in various parts like Fairbanks, where I was yesterday, and some other areas of Alaska, that you have this underground, and it can really have a negative effect. Because if the temperatures underneath the ground, not just above ground, but underneath the ground, warm up enough, that permafrost melts. So if you have a structure that is not built properly, you might find a part of the building is suddenly sinking down into the ground. And that is not a fun thing to have happen. And I saw a home in Fairbanks that actually split in two because of the permafrost melting underneath it. Now, you have to be very careful. And up here in the Arctic area, when you build, if your ground underneath your building is loaded with ice, as I said, structures can sink. Now, what does permafrost do? It forms a seal that prevents the ground from draining during the warmer months, and it causes what's a boggy terrain, and it's called muskeg, M-U-S-K-E-G. So the ground buckles when it's heated, and as I said, houses sink, roads get warped, and permafrost is also responsible for a lot of shallow areas of water. They call them shallow lakes that are throughout the Arctic tundra. It's the groundwater for the land that's up on the surface. Fascinating stuff. This is an incredible state, and I'm just so privileged to have had the opportunity to travel up here through the years, and I'm so grateful to having the means to get up here so easily by plane, because I'm not the pioneer woman, as they were years ago, that would take weeks to be able to get up into this part of the world. This is Donna Siebel. I'll be back in my home office in the Pacific Northwest on Monday. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll be back same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now, and have an awesome weekend.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.